There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that goes for 50 days on the interwebs with interweb stuff going on between people that have problems with the internet, like Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Other than a couple of internet problems, I'm doing great. I think your head thing is getting longer every time we do one of these, by the way.
Ladies. Also joining us, special guest, in studio guest, actually, Rox. Rox, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Oh, you got to speak right into that microphone.
Hi,
Rox.
I'm fine. I'm right in the middle of my 60 days of traveling.
We do 50 days of Dragon Con. She does 60 days of traveling. So that's how that works out. So Lee, any news?
I'd rather do the traveling. Yes, a lot of guests got added. We've got now about 3 or 4 Stargate Universe guests that just got added this weekend. Also, Jeri Ryan. Many people know her as 709 from Voyager, but I know her because she was Pete's ex-wife on Warehouse 13. So, she's going to be there. And as we always say, people are getting added all the time. Look at the guest list. Look at the guest list.
Yeah. And
which is kind of cool.
And unfortunately, too, at some point, I'm sure that a couple people will drop off. But, you know. Everything's tentative, as we always say with Dragon Con. Until
everything is tentative. I mean,
and the way we see it,
we're getting closer and closer.
The people who usually drop, they're usually getting jobs, and that's what we like.
That's true. We're always happy. We are always happy when our guests get jobs. And
yes.
But you know, tonight we're actually not talking to somebody who does that kind of guest star people. We're talking to Scott, who is the director of EFF, and he doesn't care if those stars come or not unless they want to come and talk about EFF issues. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey.
You're doing good.
So one of the questions everybody asks, I actually know this because I looked it up today. Rox, I bet you did too, because I wanted to make sure I got it exactly right if I had to say it. But what exactly is EFF, and what do you do?
Okay. So the track is Electronic Frontiers Forums. It was started by a local activist group called Electronic Frontiers Georgia. That activist group was not officially related to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, but we share a lot of the same goals and interests. And so to make things thoroughly confusing, I'm happy to announce that the actual EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, will be sending 2 representatives this year. So yeah, well, I'm very excited about that, but of course that makes things very confusing.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the Dragon Con abbreviates us as the EFF track, but we're not officially a part of that organization.
Okay, cool. And then, so your track relates to basically, I mean, the electronic frontiers, but what are some of the things that people would come in and hear about with you guys?
We will talk about the intersection of law and technology and to some extent society. It really is about the internet and what the internet has done to our society, how the our legal system is struggling to cope with all the rapid changes in technology. I mean, this isn't the first technological revolution we've had. We've had the invention of the telephone, the radio, television. All of those have made huge changes in society, and it's taken the law sometimes decades to adapt. And we're going through that again as internet technology really kind of explodes and things are coming at us so quickly, and the law is struggling to keep up.
And Scott Rox here. I noticed from your schedule, the tentative schedule that people can look at, your stuff is very timely. You talk about an interesting thing is women in science and tech careers. There has been a lot of talk about, you know, women who face obstacles in science careers. And I've actually, during my travels, have met with a lot of females who are in the tech industry and stuff. You're also talking about the what some authors might want to do is the new ways of self-publishing. Do you know much on who's running those panels and stuff?
Are you asking about the self-publishing specifically?
Let's break it down to the women in tech.
Let's start about the women in tech. So we had somebody who is actually a software developer, but she wanted to do both science and technology. And I think the interests, the issues are very similar. I mean, if you're in the workplace setting, you have to find a way to get your work done with everyone. And obviously there are differences in the ways that men and women interact and communicate in society, and how do those translate in the workplace. I think both men and women face some issues in basic communication issues and things like that when you get into the workplace, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk about on this panel.
And most of the guests you have, these are working professionals in their
right. These are I think these are part science and part technology. We have several PhD level scientists. We also have software developers, and that's those are kind of the two, the mix of the two. I imagine there's some differences, but I think there's a lot of similarity between the issues that they face.
Ah, and I guess we could move along to what a lot of would-be authors is the how 50 Shades of Grey has changed publishing and writing. Because I know most people say
ways has it changed publishing and writing? It seems to be. Oh, never mind. But go on.
Don't go that part. Don't go that part.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of stories out there. You're talking about a book that sold, I think what was it, like $500 million? It made $500 million in revenue. That's just kind of like from out of nowhere.
Oh, geez.
And I have to be honest that some people think it's not the best written literature out there, but
it's not.
It isn't.
I was trying to be gentle about it.
The graphic
and you're a very gentle person, Scott, but no, it's really not.
And even the graphic design of the cover, you can go, oh, that's self-publishing. Anybody that knows design, because I'm an art director, you can say, oh my gosh, that's not.
So besides the fact that's not written.
Let's say that you're an author and you've written, you're a great erotic story. Why is yours not selling at that
right.
level? I mean, I think it has changed a lot of expectations. It's changed the way obviously e-publishing has been out there for several years at the level that it's at. For a long time, the author community was saying that it would never go anywhere. And then suddenly it took off with iBooks and things like that.
Well, the ones that have the, bestsellers, they're actually looking at self-publishing as well. Some of them are actually looking into that sort of venue now. So that too is very timely, because I've been at, author conventions, and that comes up all the time. So there's at least three panels of that all the time. So, quick question. You do have a movie. You have a documentary?
Actually, I have more than one.
Oh, yeah, you do? Okay.
I have one called Terms and Conditions May Apply, and then I have another one, which is about Aaron Swartz. It's the Internet's Own Boy. And we're also going to do one that's called 10 Rules. So I actually have three.
Oh, okay.
10 Rules I didn't think about, because we've been doing that every year for the last couple of years. So it's just always been on the schedule. That's about the 10 rules is about your rights, especially Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. And that's a good one to know.
Well, and so talking about that way, the panels that you have listed, I mean, what are some that you're really excited about this year, whether they're repeats with new information or brand new for this year?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of passion and a lot of concern around the Edward Snowden revelations.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. We actually have, I'd say, three panels that are directly related to that. We're going to talk about on Saturday, we're going to talk about the PRISM program. And that's going to be Saturday, 4 o'clock in the Crystal Ballroom. That's a larger room. I wanted to be sure that we had enough space for that. And so we're going to talk about kind of the history and what led up to the PRISM program, what we knew about before Edward Snowden, and what was revealed after that. And then on Sunday, we'll have another panel. We'll kind of talk about where do we go from here? It's kind of like, well, now that we know all this, what do we do? And then I've got also on Monday morning a panel on surveillance canaries and warrant canaries. And those are indicators that you might put on your webpage to say that you're not being served with a warrant, a secret warrant. And the question is that really legal? The idea was that you would take it down if you were being served. So it's kind of like the government is telling you that you can't tell people when you're being served with a secret warrant. So can you tell them when you're not being served with a secret warrant by putting, say, an image of a canary?
So if I'm saying I'm not, then, you know, all of a sudden that disappears. Well, you know, hey, it might just be a bug code, or hey, I might be telling you something. You never know. Very cool. So one of the other things, too, is do you do I'm just curious, because I am not looking at your schedule like Rocks. I guess she's on the DragonCon app that is downloadable. Is it already on there, Rocks?
No, I actually found it through the interwebs.
Oh, you found it. Okay.
It's available. It's available at EFF.DragonCon.org
right now.
Yes. It will be on the app completely very soon.
All right, so Rocks, you can let me know if this is. Do you do anything on like the ethics of some of the EFF issues that come up? I know that's been a big discussion that I've been having with people. Is well,
oh, like
yes,
net,
you could
net
put this
net
out or
neutrality.
Do it, what? Rocks, I'm sorry, I was.
I was saying the net neutrality thing is very timely.
Net neutrality, other ethics of hacking or things like that. Do you get into any of that?
We talk about it on Hacking 101 and Hacking 201. Basically, I think that, you know, there's a difference between a hacker and a cracker. I think there's been an effort to kind of reclaim the word hacker, kind of like the gay community reclaimed the word queer. Hacker is just a person who's interested in technology. The word in itself isn't necessarily good or bad, but you look at the difference between white hat and black hat. Black hat is somebody who's doing something malicious. And so, you know, we want to make that clear when it comes to ethics issues and how far can you go, maybe even legal issues with penetration testing. Yeah, we'll actually have an attorney from the EFF this year on Hacking 101. And those are questions that we can go into on the panel.
Oh, wow. Cool. Now you have a really cool standby, this has always been my favorite, and I've ventured into this a couple times, and you have Alanka Dunnan again Kryptos and other famous unsolved codes. She's actually a favorite, isn't she?
She is. She's a returning favorite and probably has been over the years my number one recurring guest. She has just contributed so much to the track over the years, and she really got her start. And she's in the gaming industry, but she really got her start in cryptography. It was kind of inspired by what we did at DragonCon. So she's now a regarded expert in cryptography and code breaking, and she's been called on at times by government officials.
Oh, that's cool!
To give presentations on that subject.
Yeah, so if you're interested in that, she's really, really entertaining, and she knows her stuff and everything, and it's a great panel. I've ventured into that at least a couple times over the years. This is interesting. Is the jailbreaking mobile devices? Now, will you go into talking about how to do it? Because normally, what I would do is, you know, watch a YouTube video with the 15-year-old who's saying, "Hey, this is how you do it."
This is not meant to be step by step how to, but we want to talk about the motivations, why you would do it, the legal issues. I think the courts have largely blessed it, but when you do that, you expect to lose any sort of warranty support or other support you get from the manufacturer. It's been, you know, as it's, if you look at the schedule, you see it's referred to as fan fiction for your mobile device.
It is. I think that's, well, here's the, just a little thing is I remember in order to jailbreak, you had to jailbreak your iPhone or something in order for you to get e-readers before anyone jumped on them.
Oh, yeah, there was a period of time, right?
So there was that period of time. So, yes, there, you know, jailbreaking was the way to go if you want, if you were a reader. Yeah,
there was that period of time, but if you know, if you're a device manufacturer, regardless of whether you're Apple or somebody else, you need to look at what the jailbreakers are doing, because that's telling you what the customers want.
Correct.
And ultimately, you succeed by looking at what the customers want and what they consider to be unreasonable limitations in your product. So I think that's incredibly valuable knowledge to have if you're a device manufacturer.
That's actually always the one thing. I work for an agency that is very concerned about people trying to hack. And one of the things that I always come up with is when they're like, well, we have these people doing it. I'm like, can we just hire a hacker? Because they already know a lot of this. You know, I mean, it would make sense. And I would think for companies to say, oh, they're jailbreaking it for this, or oh, if we're having a lot of hacking attacks, maybe we need somebody who is motivated to help us figure out why they're doing this. So I love that idea, and being able to have a place where people can go and discuss this is always great. So
with the mobile app and everything, and the way people review your track, do you get a lot of feedback of what works and what does not work for, you know, what happened last year and what is new for this year? Do you look at the information?
You know, I mean, you know that when the biggest complaints that you get on the app were there wasn't enough space in the room or it was too hot in the room, you kind of know that you're doing a pretty good job. I mean, yeah, we got a few other complaints.
We clap at those. Yes, we do.
Most of the complaints are us being a victim of our own success, which I take as a good thing.
Okay, cool.
So last year last year's con for you was pretty good then, I take it.
It was very good.
Was there anything that stood out last year that kind of surprised you that was so well, either so well attended or just was a topic that just kind of took on a life of its own?
Well, I guess some of my best memories from last year, the Edward Snowden revelation had come out after I had done most of the schedule. So I had to kind of rush in and not only make a change to the schedule at the last minute, but also make a change, you know, get a large room at the last minute. And I was right in predicting that it would be popular enough to fill a ballroom, and it sure did. It was just great. I mean, I have a very topical panel, and the risk of that is some big story can come in after the scheduled deadline that we might not be able to cover. But I was glad I was able to get that on the schedule last year. And I was very excited about it. Of course, we could only talk about it with one panel, and now we have a greater chance to kind of stretch it out a little bit more and talk about more aspects at once.
What is his status right now? Is he still?
What is his status?
Yeah,
he's still in Moscow somewhere.
Wow,
in and around Moscow.
And his visa ends soon. I was watching something on CNN on it. His visa ends soon, and the question is whether he'll get a continuing visa or not.
So. Right. Well, I mean, if you think about the political goals that Putin may have for this, he probably has some incentive to keep Snowden around.
Yeah, I would say so. Yes.
Possibly. Yeah. I'm curious what has been something, whether it's last year or other years, something that has been something that you thought was going to be, maybe you didn't think was going to be controversial or something that you're like, oh, this is a good panel, but it'll be fine in our room. And oh my God, we had 200 people lined out the door to come in.
That's hard to say. I mean, I know that we filled the room with some of the gaming topics, and I didn't get a large room for that. We now have, since there's a mobile gaming track, it used to be, or actually, I guess a MMO track is what I'm thinking of. I was surprised at some of the popularity of those panels, and it just really kind of, when you see that much success, you realize that a few of those panels can expand into an entire track. And I'm kind of proud that it did. We kind of spawned some of the gaming stuff, and also really the podcasting track too. It started as a single podcasting panel on my track and expanded into a full track on its own.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
So I'm going to ask Lee's question that she normally asks, which is, if you get some time away this year, what are you trying to, what do you think you'd want to go check out elsewhere in the show?
Well, I think you gave away the punchline at the beginning. I just found out on the Facebook feed that Jerry Ryan's coming. I didn't realize. I didn't realize till I looked it up just today that she's actually from Germany. I didn't realize that. So.
Oh, really? Oh, I did not know that either.
She was actually born in Germany, and you know, now that I think about it, that does kind of make sense. Yeah. But I didn't realize that. So. That's interesting. Of course, it's always great to go to the dealer's room. It's always great to see all the cosplay everywhere you go. So, I mean, there's a show everywhere you go, pretty much.
Speaking of where you go, where is your track room?
Where the track room? The track room is in the Hilton. Mm-hmm. The main room is Hilton 201, and the large room that we are using this year is the Crystal Ball room. So it's either going to be in one or the other of those rooms.
Oh, great.
Crystal Ballroom is a really neat space too. It so is, you're gonna enjoy that.
And your room,
right? It is a dividable space, but we get the whole space, so we won't have the divider.
Your main track room is actually on the concourse on the Habit Trail level, correct?
It's on it's on the second floor, which is one above the
is it?
Lobby where you check in.
And John, that is the Habit Trail.
Oh, that is Habit Trail. Okay,
that is the Habit Trail.
It is.
That is the bridge to the Marriott.
Oh, great. Okay, I see what you mean.
The bridges will be.
Yeah,
open.
That's what he's calling the Habit Trails. He considers us all little gerbils.
Yeah, they're the Dragon
Con
looking
for the wheel and the
drawbridges or whatever.
Yeah, drawbridge. don't give them that idea.
I would just like to set up a camera that runs, I don't know, for 7 days, 24/7 to see how much traffic those bridges get. When Dragon Con's not in session, I'm going to bet you can probably count the number of people going across it on one hand.
I unless it's another con going on or actually conference, probably.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't know that any of those conferences, none of them are as big as we are. Yeah. No.
Shriners.
No, still not. Uh-huh. Do you remember we had a year when the Salvation Army was there,
I do.
That was fun.
I do.
So, John, you get to ask your last questions, but okay. So you said Jerry Ryan. Is there any other show or something you'd really a game that you'd like to go if there is a possibility if you can't get to a guest star panel?
What?
Because those are sometimes we have. It's difficult to get
what
into.
What food would you like to eat at Dragon Con?
No
one eats. No one eats there.
What food would I like to eat, or what I should eat?
Or do you eat?
We're directors, right, Scott?
It takes my head about 4 or 5 days to recover from Dragon Con, at least. I'd say it takes my digestive system at least that long.
That's great. We're directors. You give us food, we're happy. We're just glad you throw it in a rinse again.
It's usually about what's close and not what's good. So,
very often. Is there any other panels, maybe not a really big name guest, but something maybe gaming? Because you said you've done some panels on that for you and or podcasting.
I don't know. I wish I had more time to see this sort of the space and science tracks, too. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the nonfiction stuff and maybe even the robot battles. I just don't really get a chance to go over there much.
I think there's a panel on cloning.
I just have too much going on.
Is there a panel on cloning? Did you have a panel on cloning? I know you had
no,
one a couple years
science.
Ago.
That was science.
Oh, it was science. Okay.
You need to talk to them.
That was science. Okay. I knew there was a panel of cloning somewhere. Maybe it was Star Wars. It was the Clone Wars. Anyway. I digress. So, Scott, let me ask you my final question. It's usually sort of a stumper. I always try to stump people. I don't know why. Then they never come back, I guess. That's what. But in your case, I'm actually going to ask you if you could. This would be horrible. If you could repeal one of the ten bills of rights, which would it be? Never mind. That's a horrible, horrible question to ask. Where is it going to go? If you could, let me ask, what's the appropriate, I'll ask you this question. I was trying to think of a good question for you. Edward Snowden, since we talked about him, what would you do in his case, if you were, say, the president of the United States and had say, and nobody was going to give you any backlash for whatever you did, what would you do in his situation? For his situation?
Well, if I, okay, I mean, I could be sort of, I guess, Machiavellian. I mean, I could, you know, I mean, if you wanted to help the next candidate and keep the next candidate in the same party, then maybe you're the president that puts him in president. The next president is the one that you know, has all the charges dropped or gives him immunity. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's a possible way to sort of bridge things into the next president. I don't know. I have a feeling that this president and this administration just couldn't possibly find a way to forgive him or let him off of any of the charges, and that it really is going to come to a future presidency to do that. So I think a future president probably will be able to gain whatever political points are out there to be gained by finding a way to, you know, reduce the charges or maybe even give him full immunity. But, you know, clearly, I think the American public at this point is very divided on it.
Mm-hmm.
There really is a big choice between security and safety versus do we really live by, you know, what we supposedly stand for. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, while we're ignoring our own Bill of Rights, you know, it kind of undercuts our moral authority to say that anybody else in the world is doing something wrong if we're not living by our own values. So that's got to catch up to us sooner or later, and it has to be dealt with sooner or later. So, you know, I could see this being used for, you know, there's certainly some political points to be scored by somebody in the future. I don't think that the current administration could ever bring themselves to do this, but a future administration, which could be the very next one, may score the points that are out there to be had.
Yeah. Yeah, in my opinion, because I think I'm sort of like maybe along the same lines that you're thinking, which is that on one hand, I applaud him for being, you know, going out there and basically, you know, being the whistleblower and taking a stand. On the other hand, I'm like, well, but how many people's lives are you risking? I don't know about that necessarily in this case, but. You also signed, you know, you signed a contract and you're supposed to be trustworthy in that you're not going to go around and do these kind of things. If you didn't want to, if you had a opposition to it, then maybe you shouldn't be necessarily, working in those conditions or for that contractor or whoever. I'm not even sure if he was a contractor, that's for sure. But, if he had a choice in the matter, probably not. But, yeah, because I mean, I constantly am back and forth on it, which is like I applaud him because I really do appreciate the fact that he is sticking his neck out and he's doing in your mind. And you're right. And from a constitutional standpoint, it seems like he's doing the right thing. He's you know, basically calling the all the administrations, all of the government, federal government to task. On the other hand, it's like, well, yeah, but did you have to do it in that manner? That's what, you know, I guess where it comes down. Anyway. Scott, I would like to say thank you very much for joining us tonight. It was our pleasure having you. Go ahead, Lee.
And where can people find you? So you're EFF at .DragonCon.
Well, so the website is EFF. Right. Yeah, the website is EFF.DragonCon.org. So that's where the schedule is. And the schedule is obviously subject to change even up to the last minute. But mm-hmm. That's always the best place to find the latest information.
And
do you have a Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, it's EF Forums, and there is a Facebook page, but we have many more Twitter followers than Facebook. So we set it up so that when we tweet something, it just goes out to Facebook. So we typically hit Twitter first.
So it's EF Forums?
It's EF Forums.
Okay, yes. Cool.
No spaces, no underscores.
And no DC in there?
No.
Okay, all right. So, okay, cool. So, EF, folks, EF Forums, EFF.DragonCon.org. And then if you're so inclined, Facebook somewhere out there. we'll have all those links, of course, up in on the post that this particular podcast goes out on. And as I started to say, Scott, thank you very much for joining us. One more time, where are you located? What room?
We're in the Hilton. It's the main room is Hilton 201, and the large room for us this year will be the Hilton Crystal Ballroom.
Sweet. And I guess that's it. So thank you again. Thank you very much, Scott. And
okay, thank you very much.
Until next time, this is John for Lee, Rox, and Scott saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.